Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for long, beautiful days of summer, for sunshine and warmth and trees and flowers everywhere, for families who bring their babies to be baptized to you. So much life and goodness all around us. For family, for friends that feel like family, for people who hear what's on our hearts and minds and love us through it all. Help us to trust in your plan, Lord, for our lives and for the world. We know we see but a small fraction of what you see and understand even less. Heal us, Lord. Help us to judge less and love more. Help us to walk in another's shoes, even for a day. Remind us daily that you've got this, that you've got us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you remember when Pastor Youngdahl would say, "It's a beautiful summer day, let's get up and shake hands with everybody"? I won't ask you to do that because I hated that. It's so not like Lutheran. Do you ever feel like the world has gone absolutely mad? Like you can't take one more minute of the news? Does seeing the newspaper on your doorstep each morning or the New York Times in your inbox make your stomach flip? What have we managed to do this time to our fellow humans and to God's creation? I keep thinking of those old humorous but true billboard signs and refrigerator magnets of things that our Heavenly Father might say to us. Things like, "Swing by my house on the way to the game on Sunday, will ya?" Or my favorite, "Don't make me come down there." Remember when we were kids and our parents would send us to our rooms to think about what we'd done and tell us that we couldn't come out until we could say we are sorry and play nice? I think we could all use a little time out right about now. When the waves keep coming and there's no horizon in sight, I cling to God's love and to God's word, like a round white lifesaver thrown to me in a turbulent sea. Romans 5, we boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And that wherever we stand, right or wrong, while we are still weak, Christ died for the ungodly within us. That is some kind of miraculous good news. That is the hope that I cling to, that God loves us, every single one of us, regardless of, well, anything. And that, my friends, is the good news of Christ Jesus. Christ died for us. Jesus loves us. Last week, Tom and I decided to celebrate our milestone 60th, don't tell anyone, birthdays by driving through the beautiful mountains of Colorado. We planned things that we knew our sons would love, like zip lining and whitewater rafting. Things Tom would love, like an outdoor music concert. And the thing I love more than anything else in the world, being with my boys. The day before we left, I ran into my friend Hollywood Dean here at church between services, and she said, "Oh my gosh, if you're driving through Colorado, you have got to drive on the Million Dollar Highway. It's spectacular." Well, it turns out the Million Dollar Highway is an infamous stretch of US 550 that twists and turns its way through the Rocky Mountains of southwestern Colorado, all the way from Ouray down to Durango, ascending and descending three of the highest mountain passes in North America. Panoramic views galore. But here's the catch. There's no guardrails. None. Just you and your little car and certain death 3 feet to your right. I'm sweating right now thinking about it. We decided this called for a family vote. And after a little waffling back and forth between the risk takers and the risk averse, the adventure seekers won out. Then just before entering the ramp of no return, I asked a local guy who was manning the gondola, "So how bad is it exactly?" With the twitch of an eye sounding more like a wise old cowhand than a prospector, he said, "You know why they call it the Million Dollar Highway, don't ya? Because if you gave me $1 million, I wouldn't drive on that thing." And of course, my next thought that just about comes out of my mouth because I have no filter is, "Well, how many people actually die there?" But considering my sons were behind me, I said, "Oh, okay, well, thank you." So we head out anyway. I'm driving. The minute I see the reality of no shoulder, no guardrails, and see the sheer drop down the side of that mountain, my palms start to pour water from them, and I'm trying not to let the boys see. I'm wiping them on my hiking shorts. My heart is beating so loudly that I'm sure that every single person in the car can hear thump, 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 thump. And my mouth goes bone dry. Hands clinging to the steering wheel like my family's life depends on it, because it does. I yell, "Roll up all the windows, turn on the air conditioning," and then I look to my husband and I say, "For the love of God, please turn on some Pandora jazz to calm me down." Everyone in the car goes instinctively silent. Crawling at 25 miles per hour, which feels way too fast considering it all, I spent the next 10 miles doing two things, and two things only. Praying ferociously, "Please, dear Lord, bring us home safely. Please, dear Lord, bring us home safely. I know this was a bad idea, and I promise I will never, ever, ever do it again." And secondly, trying to outsmart and outlogic my clearly panicking brain. "You've never crashed in a guardrail in your whole entire life. This is just regular driving. The sheer drop is playing a trick on your brain. If you just stay between the lines, everything's going to be okay." I prayed continually. I stayed between the guidelines. Today's passage from the book of Romans can sound so complicated when you first hear it. I encourage you to bring home your bulletin today and read through it slowly and repeatedly and daily, absorbing what the Apostle Paul is saying to you. And you'll see that it is a love letter of hope from God to you, a healing balm for our world. A letter filled with the hope that we so desperately need. Paul uses words that we humans tend to toss around when we're angry, like shame and ungodly and affliction and weakness and sin. But not in a human, I'm right, you're wrong, or we're in, you're out kind of way. But in a God knows all this about us and loves us anyway kind of way. He says, yes, we're weak, we're ungodly, most often far from righteousness, but Christ died for us anyway. Even enemies of God will be reconciled to him. And yes, we will suffer in this life. We will. But even in the midst of our suffering and our confusion and our ungodly division, we can always hope. Because our hope does not lie in newspaper headlines or in human beings all of a sudden coming together for good. Our hope lies in Christ Jesus, in our Heavenly Father or Mother or whoever you think God is. Bidden or not bidden, God is present. Christ died for us, messy and complicated, on our best day, perfectly imperfect humans. Who does that? Someone who loves us more than we can possibly even wrap our human brains around. We are justified, not because we're perfect and because we always get it right. We are justified because we are God's beloved children. And then, the whole icing on the whole cake, the line that fills me with hope in spite of the headlines, St. Augustine's favorite quote, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have God's love in us. That gives me hope. As we're driving along the Million Mile Highway that day, I did two things. I prayed continually and did what I could do to follow the guidelines. And that, to me, seems to be a great recipe for living life. God has set forth perfect guidelines for us right here. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We're here for such a short time. Accept that the road of life will be windy, with many ups and downs and dangerous turns along the way. Pray continually, and then try to relax and enjoy all the scenery that God has placed in our way. If we do those things, we'll be way more apt to set God's love in our hearts free, to share with a world that so desperately needs it. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen.